waiting. No one was home except for Lady Seymour, and she was not capable of making noise. The roar came again. I cocked my head and listened. It did not come from the street nor the house above. It was not cannon fire. 'Twas inside me. A thought. Thunderous, loud. Ruth was alive. Alive in Charleston. In South Carolina, not on a ship, not on an island. Alive in a town I can walk to. My toes wiggled in my sturdy black shoes and my legs itched. I lay flat as I could on the bumpy mound of potatoes and kicked once at the boards of the bin. My heavy shoes made a terrible loud noise on the wood. I stopped, counted to 100. There came no sound from overhead, no commotion out on the street. I kicked again at the same spot. The potatoes under me shifted and the mug of water overturned. I kicked a third time. The boards did not move at all. I cursed the carpenter who had built this tomb. There has to be a way out. I kicked, stomped, slammed. I raged and screamed and fought. Nothing happened. I stopped, wiped the sweat from my face, and closed my eyes. Think. The bin stood a little taller than Ruth and was as long in both directions as it was tall. I reached up to touch the boards above my head. They were rough-hewn, put together with cold nails. My fingertips traced the length of each board, feeling along the splinters and the knots in the wood. The top was as solid as a brick wall, each nail fastened tight. I fought back the panic that rose in my throat and tested the strength of each board that ran from the top down the sides. All strong, all sound. Think. Remember. When Ruth and I slept down here, the far corner of the cellar went muddy in a heavy rain. Maybe the damp had eaten at the boards. I moved over to that corner of the bin and scooped the potatoes out of the way, heaping them behind me. I sat back and put my feet on each board in turn and pushed. The third board I tried gave way a little. So did the next two. I moved the potato heap so I could best lean against it and push with my legs. I kicked. There was a quiet crack. I kicked again and leaned forward to feel the boards. The one had a piece chipped off where the wood was rotted through. The other had a long split in it. I leaned back and took a deep breath. Then kicked and kicked with all my strength until the wood broke and flew into the dark. I took the stairs two at a time and paused before I entered the kitchen. The house was still silent. I hurried down the hall, past the grandfather clock, and up the stairs to the drawing room. I needed a map and had a mind to steal a pass, too, if I could. I threw some wood on the fire, lit a candle from the flames, and carried it to the long dining table covered with maps and countless papers. I lit the rest of the candles on the table as if preparing for a feast, then searched through the papers, throwing those that were useless to me to the floor. Finally, I found a small map that showed the colonies from Massachusetts down to Georgia. The distance from Rhode Island to New York was the same as the tip of my little finger to the first knuckle under it. From New York to Charleston stretched all the way down my fingers to the palm. The crackling firewood startled me. I glanced up. There was a movement over the hearth, and for an instant my heart caught in my throat. A ghost? The firelight brightened. No, not a ghost. I had caught sight of myself in the large mirror that hung over the mantel. I could scarce recognize me. My hands fumbled for a candle. I moved to the mirror, guarding the flame, and lit the oil lamps that were set into the wall. The mirror caught the light and reflected it back at me. I leaned in. In truth, it seemed I was looking at a stranger who lived beyond the glass. My face was thinner than I remembered, and longer from brow to chin. My nose and mouth recollected Mama's, but the set of eyes, those came from Papa. As I stared, their two faces came forth and drifted back, until I could see only me. I turned my head to the side a bit and studied the brand on my face. For the first time, studied it hard. The capital I that proclaimed my insolent manners and crimes. I leaned closer to the mirror. The letter was a pink ribbon embroidered on my skin. I touched it, smooth and warm, flesh made into silk. The scars on Papa's cheeks had been three lines across his cheek carved with a sharp blade. He was proud of his marks. In the country of his ancestors, they made him into a man. I traced the eye with my fingertip. This is my country mark. I did not ask for it, but I would carry it as Papa carried his. It made me his daughter. It made me strong. I took a step back, seeing near my whole self in the mirror. I pushed back my shoulders and raised my chin, my back straight as an arrow. This mark stands for Isabel. The clock struck 11 and made me jump. I had much to do and little time. The fastest way off the island was a boat, much as the thought made me tremble. I searched through the sea of papers on the table until I found a chart of the tides. I ran my finger down the columns. Huzzah! The tide would not turn against me for a few hours. I lacked only a pass. Colonel Hawkins had been in the habit of keeping them locked in the chest in the library, but he had become sloppy and overworked since the rebel victories. I opened the drawers of the secretary table and looked through the large boxes of official papers. There! I grabbed the paper and dashed to a small side table for a quill and bottle of ink. I crowded the candles in close together to give me enough light, took a deep breath to steady my hand, and dipped the quill. I took a second breath and bent over to fill in the empty bits of the pass. New York, blank space, 1777. I wrote in 18th, January, in the blank space. It had been some time since I wrote out letters. The J wobbled and the R appeared to be an N. I set down the quill, wiped my damp hands on my skirt, and picked it up again. This is to certify, to whomsoever it may concern, that the bearer hereof, blank space. That was where I had to write my name. I scratched out Isabel and stopped. I was not a Lockton nor a Finch. Isabel, Rhode Island? That would not do. Isabel Cuffy, after Papa? Or Isabel Dinah, after Mama? I closed my eyes and thought of home, the smell of fresh-cut hay and the taste of raspberries, robins chasing bugs in the bean patch, setting worms to work at the base of the corn plants, showing Ruth what was weed and what was flower. I opened my eyes, dipped the quill, and wrote out my true name. Isabel Gardner, being a free Negro, has the commandant's permission to pass from this garrison to whatever place she may think proper. It was signed with lots of fancy titles that belonged to the colonel and the commandant and the king himself. I wished that there would have been space for Her Majesty, Queen Charlotte of Great Britain, to sign it too. She and me shared a birthday now, for I was reborn as Isabel Gardner, and that paper proved it.